All right, welcome to Richmond Road Baptist Church. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. Now, I guess you all heard what our president did this week. And the Democrat liberals have attacked him for going after peace too hard and too fast. Now back in January, they were attacking him because he's going to get us in a nuclear war. Now he's got it. Looks to me like it's getting pretty much under control. May not be. He doesn't say he's totally got it. He's not 100% sure. But we are further along than we've been for, 68 years. About to get the Korean War finished. All of our POW, MIA remains that are there. Don't they say there's about 8,000 from the Korean War? They're going to bring those home. Our last president wasn't remotely concerned about such things. But anyway, I don't know where we'll hit, where we'll be, but I'm thankful for what he's doing now. All right, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and we've been through quite a few things. We just finished a study from chapters 10 and 11 on the Lord's Supper. The purpose of it, the authority of it, the misuse of it, and the proper use of it. So now in chapter 12, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. If you'll notice, the word gifts is in italics, because that word is not actually in the original, or the Greek, but by the context, it belongs there. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That's not a slam. If you don't know something, if you don't know about something, then you are in ignorance about that subject. So he says, I would not have you in ignorance about this subject. Well, that's a good point right there, because there is so much ignorance on this subject. I mean, it is widespread, preachers and all. Very little knowledge on this subject, and that is spiritual gifts. He says, ye, that's second person plural. He's talking to the congregation of the church at Corinth. You all know that you were Gentiles. Ethnos is the word. Heathen. These are Gentiles that God's made Jews out of, spiritual Jews. You know that you all were heathen, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. He talked to us about idols in chapter 10 from the standpoint of the Israelites in the desert wilderness, what they did, and compared that to eating meat offered to idols that they were in process of here in Corinth. Now he refers to idols again. Anybody that doubts that idolatry is a large subject in the Bible just does not know what the Bible says. It is one of the major issues in the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And he says, one of your deals, you were just heathen. That's plain and simple what they were. And you were carried away unto these idols, these dumb idols, even as you were led. You were carried away by them because you got into them. You liked them. Don't ever try to take somebody's idols away from them. You get in a heap of trouble. trying to take somebody's idols away from them. Do that about December, every year. You get in a heap of trouble because people love their idols. They're carried away with them, matter of fact. And you see that more and more. But even as you were led by whom? By other idolaters, those that seem to be more knowledgeable than you, but they're leading you into more idolatry.
Amen.
It's going on all over, as the term would be, it's going on in mass, E-N-M-A-S-S-E, big time. All right, so you were carried away into these dumb idols. Now, just how dumb are they? Well, look at Psalm 115 real quick. Psalm 115. I know they all say we've got to be nice. And we certainly can't attract people by preaching such things as this. I mean, that's what they all say, and they're pretty much doing that. Psalm 115 and verse, let's see. Just verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, or why should the heathen say, where is now their God? Our God. The heathen saying to God's people, where is your God? Our God is in the heaven. He's in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. What would that be? Dumber than a coal bucket. So is everyone that trusts in them. So, you dare say, where is your God? Our God's in heaven. He's where he's always been. And he does according to his will in the armies of heaven and on earth. Check his word out. How dare them ask where our God is? You carry your God around. Because he can't walk. You have to talk for your God. He can't talk. You can't talk to your God. He can't hear. He can't touch anything. So, let's see, Psalm 135. Verse 15, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Now see, you can take and make this image, this statue. You can make it out of solid gold. You can make it out of platinum and put diamonds all over it. You can make it the most expensive thing in the world. But it ain't going to do no good. It's still just a dumb idol. They have mouths, but they speak not. The eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not, neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. But we say, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. So, where's their God? Oh, here's our God. I just got done making him. Why would you make something and then pray to it? Why would you carve something and then pray to it? You just got done carving it. You made that. But our God made us.
Amen.
All right, so you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. He's talking to a group of people in a church that ostensibly have all been born again. They're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, gathered together to carry out the commission of the Lord. But he's reminding them of where they came from. Say, now, what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? Well, we'll see. Chapter 11, chapter 12, and chapter 13. Chapter 12, 13, and 14 is what I meant to say. Those three chapters are all about this same subject. Nowhere in the Bible will you find more detailed teaching on the spiritual gifts than right here. Chapters 12, 13, and 14. So, this is good stuff. Wherefore I give you to understand. Now remember, he just said where you came from. You were heathen, carried away to these dumb idols, carried away with them, even led to them, bound down to them, praying to them. What do you think the Roman Catholics, they got all their so-called saints? Saint this and saint that and saint this and all that. They all pray to those things. Oh, we're just praying through them. Where did it say you do that? Wherefore I give you to understand that no man, no human being, speaking by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus anathema, accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. This is important scripture.
Amen.
People that try to make a big deal out of these spiritual gifts, and generally the one they really get on is tongues. That's their biggie. And those preachers will tell you, that's how you can find out if you're saved or not, if you can speak in tongues. Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't imply that. What it does say, that no man speaking by the Spirit of the Lord calls Jesus accursed. And no man, no one can. If I say may, I'm speaking of permission. If I say can, I'm speaking of ability. He says no man can. No one has the ability to say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. It is unscriptural to recognize as Christian any who deny the divinity of our Lord. I was off Ken Ham's website. There's some kind of Corinthian Baptist church up in New York City. They got about 10,000 people. And the pastor is saying, it's ridiculous to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He said, I'm proud of you however you're trying to get there. Huh? It's unscriptural to recognize. You go through all the scriptures. There's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man.
Amen.
So it's unscriptural to recognize as Christian any who deny the divinity of our Lord. Now, with that being said, you all agree with that, don't you? How can I go out here and have a union meeting with a bunch of so-called Christians, and some of them do and some of them don't. I have no fellowship with those people. So, well, how, you're never ever going to influence them. I don't see where it's my influence that matters.
Amen.
I believe it says, God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. God's not dependent on me to influence the heathen to get them on his side. Now, conversely, it is unscriptural for anyone to doubt their own regeneration if they consciously, sincerely are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, there's only one. If you truly believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, anybody can say the words. I'm talking about truly believing that Jesus is Lord. Then it would be unscriptural to doubt your own regeneration, because the only way that you could ever get to that point is by the Holy Spirit. Look quickly at Matthew 16. Verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say you all that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. How did the Apostle Peter find out that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? How did he find that out? Jesus said, you didn't figure it out.
That's right.
Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it unto you. Look at 1 John. Chapter 4. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You all are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The Bible is pretty plain. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, why is he leading off with this? I'm glad he did. But why does he lead off with such a thing? To teach on the spiritual gifts. To counteract all of those holy, roly, charismatic so-called preachers who are going to tell you that the only way you can tell if you're saved is if you speak in tongues. And they about all say that, don't they? And he clears that up right now. Going into it, he clears it up. How many of those guys have ever expounded that verse right there? And don't you think that needs expanding?
Amen.
Don't you think that's worthy of exposition? Of course it is. So, no man can, no man is able. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
The faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Now, our subject, spiritual gifts. Now that he's cleared that up, spiritual gifts are not evidences of salvation.
Amen.
They never have been. On the day of Pentecost, they were not evidence of salvation. That wasn't the purpose of them. People that don't know these truths, they have no idea what the church is all about. And I'm telling you, all these Southern Baptist churches that have got in their doctrinal statement, the universal invisible church, that is heresy. And any so-called Baptist that joins up with it is lining up with heresy.
Amen.
There is no such thing as a universal invisible church. Church is assembly. You can't have an invisible assembly. And certainly can't have a universal assembly. The only kind of assembly you can have is when you got people that can assemble bodily together. And the kind of church that Jesus built is an assembly of people that have been scripturally baptized because they've been truly saved and have the proper confession of faith. They've been scripturally baptized and they have committed themselves, joined up to carry out the great commission of our Lord. That's the kind of church Jesus built. And it wasn't Martin Luther. It wasn't John Calvin. It wasn't Henry VIII. It wasn't Mary Baker Eddy. It wasn't Alexander Campbell. It wasn't John Wesley. It wasn't any of the above that had anything to do with the founding of the Lord's church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the builder, the founder, and the head of his kind of church, and he promised perpetual existence to it. Continued perpetuity. Church, Baptist church, perpetuity. It never went out of existence during the dark ages. Anybody that says it did is a lie. Every Protestant denomination is built upon the lie that the church died during the Middle Ages. Every one of them. Just as Mormonism, what Joel Smith say, he said all the churches were gone. The Lord's churches were gone. And I had to restart the Lord's church. And look what a mess he came up with. He didn't restart anything. He just had him a, what they call it, what did old Martin call it, a humbug? Bunch of students took a bunch of different bugs, sliced them real carefully and glued them together, trying to fool him before all the class. And he looked at that. They wanted him to try to identify what kind of bug that was. He said, friends, this is a humbug. A humbug. Isn't that? A humbug is a nothing bug. It's a humbug because you're trying to cheat, you're trying to trick me, and all this. And that's what these Protestant things are. They're not churches, they're humbugs. Made up deals. The only kind of church that's around, that's the Lord's church, is the kind that he built. And that kind of church has got the same doctrines. Contend in earnest for the faith, once delivered to the saints. Now, we encounter spiritual gifts in Acts, the first and second chapter. The baptism of the Holy Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost. And those gifts came as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the church. Tell you another thing, Mr. Charles Stanley and many of those big guys, They talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Every time somebody gets saved, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What a lie. To otherwise be a smart man. What a lie. He needs to study the scriptures a little bit. There's no such thing as an individual baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It was a one-time affair on the church that Jesus built. It's never been repeated and never will be repeated any more than the Shekinah glory came on the tabernacle and on the temple.
Amen.
One time. That's all it takes. When God says he puts his approval on something and he empowers it, approves it, and he indwelt it by his Holy Spirit. That's what he did on the church on the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
That word church means assembly. Now, those gifts, they were the visible, audible evidences of the presence of the invisible spirit on that church. They had much need because the Bible was not completed on the day of Pentecost. The only scriptures they had on the day of Pentecost was Old Testament scriptures. And they were scrolls. And no one had a complete Bible. Any scrolls you had would have been in the temple or a synagogue. They didn't have the scriptures. They weren't available to them. The New Testament was just hadn't even started being written yet. James, the first book of the New Testament to be written, was 45. Well, the day of Pentecost was A.D. 33. It's 12 years before the first book ever be written. And it would be up till 95 until the last book of the New Testament was written. They didn't have the Bible. These people, they refused to see such a thing. And you know why? Because they don't see the importance of the Bible today. That's why they don't use it. Oh, they use it. They twist it, wrest it to their own destruction. But they don't use the Bible. The last thing a bunch of holy rollers want is Bible exposition. That's the last thing they want. And I still believe that about having these sing songs. How come you want to have a sing song and no preaching of the word? I don't have time for it. Anyway, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now the word diversity in verse 4, the word differences in verse 5, and the word diversities in verse 6, they are all the same word. Would be variation. And these are the only three times they're used in the whole New Testament. So there are diversities, variations, differences of gifts, but they're all wrought by the same Holy Spirit. There are not many spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in charge of the spiritual gifts. Dr. Hogjaws or Holy Roller Preacher is not in charge of them, and neither are you. There are differences of administrations. That word administration, ministries. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Well, there's only one God manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you say one, you're saying the other. Now, these gifts are not the same. These gifts, they're different. And we're going to have the gifts, the word is, delineated right in this chapter. They're going to be laid out for us. Don't go looking for something else. Get them right here. Now, there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or with those gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation means bring it to light, to see it. What is this then? The manifestation of the Spirit. Those gifts manifested the Spirit of God that had come on the church on the day of Pentecost. They were the outward proofs of the presence of the invisible Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit. And these were all given for everyone to profit withal. If all you're doing is getting up, now, did you profit from that? I didn't even profit from that, let alone you. Have you ever heard anybody so-called speak in tongues that kind of sound like it? I mean, they get that tongue going, buddy. You say, well, boy, you got to be worked up in the Spirit to do that. No, you don't. You got to be worked up in the flesh to do that. That doesn't come from the Spirit of God. It comes from the flesh. It comes from the presence of demons working in the flesh.
Amen.
Now, somebody going to get mad at me. Too late, I ain't going to change what I said. If you want to get mad at me, go ahead. I can handle it. For to one is given by the Spirit, man. To one person is given by the Spirit. Where'd it come from? One has got a gift. Where'd it come from? Came the Spirit of God. These heretic holy roller preachers say, oh, you got to work it up. You got to pray for it. Get on your knees and beg God for it. Even when those gifts existed, you couldn't do that. These gifts did not come from you begging them or wanting them.
Right.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Well, we're challenged in the Proverbs to go after wisdom. But this is different. This is somebody being given godly wisdom, a whole helping of godly wisdom, without ever going after it. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The word of knowledge. Well, I like knowledge. I know I'll never have time to study all of the subjects I want to study. Y'all might think I'm crazy, but I have gotten Encyclopedia Britannica out and just started reading. Now, it don't take you long till you read something you can't handle. You might go pretty good for several subjects. Then you run up on a subject. I better go on to another one. Nobody's got that much knowledge. But what if you... You know, we know that Adam, the Bible says he named all the animals.
Amen.
How did he know to do that? He had intuitive knowledge.
Amen.
He didn't have to study for that. It came with his creation.
Amen.
But I'll guarantee you the minute he sinned, he couldn't have named them animals. He probably couldn't name them after he'd already named them. I'll guarantee you after he fell, I'll guarantee you his mind emptied up. And he got confused. He had to go back over it 3 or 4 times to check it out. What was that I said? Whoops. You ever have that experience? Yeah. Now he's depraved. He doesn't have that. Before he had intuitive knowledge, wisdom. Well, if you were given a gift by the Holy Spirit that you knew whatever subject we're talking about, and I don't know what subject we're talking about, I'm going to say, let's say Bible history. I know a little bit of Bible history, but just a little bit. I'd like to know all of it, but I don't have the capacity for it. What if the Lord had given me a gift that I know it all? Hopefully I'd use it for good. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now that is not saving faith.
Amen.
That is the capacity to live by faith. The Bible talks about adding to our faith. Living by faith. Faith upon faith. Faith. Romans talks about that. So that is a gift of faith, to be able to step out and to do what God says on faith, totally. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice how he constantly reminds us that it's by the same Spirit. The gifts of healing. Well, we've seen healing. We saw some of it in the Old Testament. Saw much of it during the life of Christ. And then the apostles in the book of Acts. And now some of these folks got the gifts of healing. Well, did they pray for it? So far, I'm telling that the Spirit of God is in charge here.
Amen.
I don't think people sought after these gifts. To another, the working of miracles. Now, it doesn't say what kind of miracles. I doubt it was miracles like St. Denis's. That's the Catholic saint. That his statue is right at the front door of the big cathedral in Paris, France. The Notre Dame Cathedral. The old dude that's standing there with his head in his arms. That's the miracle they found on him that made him a saint. They cut his head off and he carried his head preaching for about 3 miles. Now, I don't believe this kind of miracles he's talking about. I believe these miracles were indeed miracles. To another, prophecy. That is a gift of prophecy. Well, what does prophecy concern? Prognosticating, telling what future events. Also teaching the Bible.
Amen.
To another, discerning of spirits. Lord, I kind of think we need that now. Boy, discern. Try the spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. That word is glosso in the Greek. And do you know what it means? Languages. See, everybody uses that word tongue, and they act like it's something itself. Weird, way out. Well, languages are not weird and way out. Now, notice when the president and Kim Jong-un, or whatever his name was, when they met for about 45 minutes, they had interpreters with them. Did you hear him speak? Korean guy speak? Yeah. I couldn't understand it. Neither could President Trump. And he couldn't understand President Trump. At least he might understand more than he puts on.
Yeah.
But I'm sure President Trump does not understand Korean. He hadn't had time to learn that. Anyway, diverse kinds of tongues. The tongues were confused on the day of, or the Tower of Babylon.
Yep, right.
That's what Babel means, is confusion. And that's when the languages were invented. They weren't invented. That's when God scrambled them. I don't know just how fluent an Arab was with his Arab tongue as he came down from the Tower of Babel. They might have still been learning the language, I tell you. Now, we can determine a language amongst us. If we wanted to create a language, we could do that. There's a new language that Rusty's, Tony's son. What's the name of that language?
Esperanto.
You ever heard of that? That's a brand new language, and he knows it. Shane, sharp boy. You come up with new language whenever you want to. The only thing is that whoever's going to speak it has to understand it. And we all, if we're going to get us a new language, we've all got to make sure that we understand our new language. Doesn't matter what it is. We could have if we're going to make up a language, we could do that, but we all got to understand it. All right, so different kinds of tongues. Well, you've got all kinds of branches of languages. You've got Romance languages, Latin, Greek. You've got Cyrillic, Russian. You've got many other. You've got Japanese and Chinese and Korean and all that. You've got different classes of language, different kinds of languages. So to another, the interpretation of tongues. Well, if I have got the gift of tongues and I can speak Romanian, never had a lesson in Romanian in my life, but I open up my mouth to speak the gospel and I speak it in Romanian. And if you're Romanian, you understand in your language. But if I do that and you don't, the rest of you don't understand Romanian, and somebody better tell you all what I'm saying. And so to have the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now let's see, we had wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers tongues, interpretation of tongues. That looks like about 9 gifts to me. And I believe this is the list of the gifts that were given out on the day of Pentecost. Now, verse 11, but all 9 of these gifts, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, and he is dividing to every man severally as he will. Important verse. So these gifts came from the Holy Spirit. They were not requested by the people. They weren't prayed for. They weren't begged for. The Holy Spirit sovereignly, severally divided those gifts up to where he will. So if you didn't have the gift of tongues, there was no way on God's green earth you could get it. Now, what's that do to all those holy roller tongues preachers? If you didn't already have one or more of these gifts, these 9 gifts, you don't have it. Now you got this guy that, oh, you need this, you need that. There's no way on earth you can get it because it ain't his to give.
Amen.
And it's not yours to beg for. It's the Holy Spirit's sovereign right to distribute those gifts exactly as he wills to.
Amen.
Of course, that's the way all of God's things are. So, Verse 12, for as the body is one, now he's talking about the whole church body. He's not talking about the universal invisible body. Isn't any such thing. And that's Southern Baptist doctrinal statement that says that all people of all ages all over the world are part of the big universal invisible church. It is heresy. And most Southern Baptists knew that years ago, but they all played footsie with the liberals and got them all in because they wanted to get the big bucks so all the preachers could make big bucks and big retirements. Get all the clout of the people. And so they tolerate all that. Now they're so far gone, they're not recognizable as Baptists. I know what I'm talking about. Now, but as the body is one, what body is he talking about? The body at the Corinth Baptist Church.
Amen.
And hath many members. I don't know how many members they had, but they had more than a few. And all the members of that one body. Your one body, literal body, has got many members. Got many parts. Being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is one. His body is one. The church is one. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How'd you get into this church? How do you get into the Lord's kind of church? Right here. This is not talking about spirit baptism. If they'd ever learned what baptism of the Holy Spirit was, they wouldn't make that heresy there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit approved, empowered, and accredited the church that Jesus built on the day of Pentecost. Acts 1:8. After the Holy Spirit's come upon you, then you shall receive power. Then you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other most parts of the earth, parts of the world.
Amen.
Now, how'd you get into the Lord's church? I don't know how this goes. I've never really got into it. I've never really listened to it. They talk about, well, baptism is not the door to the church. Well, what is it then? You can't get into the church without baptism.
Amen.
Well, if the church votes to receive you, you still are not a member of the church. You're not a member of the church until that church, under its authority, baptizes you. Then you are a member of the church. So if you want to split hairs, was it the vote of the church or was it the baptism? I don't think you can separate them. I've had them say, well, I would not go so far as to say that baptism was the door of the church at a conference one time. I said, well, I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to tell you, baptism is a door to the church. You can't get in there without baptism. You're not in there till you're baptized. Even when the church votes to receive you, they've received you as a candidate for baptism. They haven't baptized you yet, and you can't be a member without scriptural baptism.
Amen.
Now, if that's not the door of the church, I don't know what it is. Name it. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, you ain't there without it. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He's not talking about all churches all over the world. He's talking about each individual body. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? The foot is not the hand. The foot's the foot. And the hand is the hand. But even a bad foot, I'm glad I got it. Even a bum foot, I'm glad I got it. I'd be a whole lot worse off without it. I'm glad I got my hands. I'm glad I got all the different parts. And it's just ridiculous for the foot to gripe at the hand and the hand to gripe at the foot. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course it is. The eye and the ear, they're separate, they're different, but they're part of the same body. And that's talking about the church members of the individual church or the congregation. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you imagine with just one big eye? That wouldn't be no fun, would it? You'd really have been saying, huh, then, wouldn't, if the eye could talk. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him.
Amen.
Looks like he's in charge all the way along the way, isn't he? I mean, he was even in charge of old Pharaoh. He's in charge of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in charge of the gifts. And he's in charge of the members of the body. And that's what we all ought to strive for, to have the members that God sends us. And when he sends them, we're loving. We love to have them. But if you're here as God would have you to be, it's because God put you here.
Amen.
If you can say that Jesus is Lord, it's because the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you.
Amen.
And if they were all one member, where were the body? If there's all the hand, or if there's all the foot, it'd be ridiculous. But now are they many members, yet but one body, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You need every part. You need every member that God has placed there.
Amen.
And it won't function right without them.
Yep.
And that's why we need our members to remember that. And to participate as they're needed to.
Amen.
Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Even your little toe. It seems to be more feeble. But get a little sore toe. And see how it affects you. Get it cut off and see how it affects you. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Uncomely parts. Unpretty parts. Parts that ain't so pretty. I got a foot that'll win the ugly foot contest every year. But I'm so glad I got it. I can't get another one. I will someday. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together. Well, the comely parts stand on their own. They're not, you know, looking pretty good. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And where the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Now you have to know that he's talking about a local New Testament Baptist kind of church. He's not talking about a universal, invisible anything. Where the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. It would be nice if we had enough contact with people around the world. We know some in Hungary and Romania and Brazil and Peru. We know some folks used to have a little bit of knowledge of some in Seoul, South Korea. I don't know what those people are going through with now. nor do they know what we're going through with. We can pray for them in general, but we don't have the same experiences at all. But in this church, it's good to know what our members are doing, whether they're suffering or whether they're being blessed or what, so we can rejoice with them or suffer with them. One member, be honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, or literally a body of Christ, and members in particular. Each church is a body of Christ.
Amen.
And members in particular make up that body. We'll continue on next time.